Today, guys, I can't do this. I've got mic fright. Please go on without me.
Oh, Todd, I guess we're going to be talking about mic fright without Eric.
I guess so.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to Live Free and Ham podcast. You know, looks like miraculously I've been healed. You know, we're up to 31 episodes. Hopefully I have good control of the mic. This is our bi-weekly show during which we discuss ham radio topics in New Hampshire, New England and beyond. So whether you're a regular listener or first time guest, we're excited to have you here and we appreciate your support. And thanks for tuning in today's episode. So let's get into the show. I'm your host. Name's Eric, call signs N1JUR. I'm with my co-hosts.
Paul, N1OJ.
Come on. Again, guys.
We're God, no longer Paul. Alphabetical.
No, that's true. Well, we want to try to get our, everybody should know us by this point. But anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, before we get into our topic, we've got a few things we'd like to catch up on. Our first one is our storefront is up at livefreeandham.com/shop. Woohoo! We are all wearing our official employee, issued clothing. And as we see, Paul has been modeling our ham radio makes me feel dumb and that's okay shirt. Todd is wearing our official Izzo, that guy, those guys up north in New Hampshire shirt. They are all over there in our shop and waiting for you to go over there and grab and be part of the Live Free and Ham family. As you know all, we'd like to thank a few folks that have actually purchased. Frank S., who is our latest one, he grabbed our Live Free and Ham Classic Tee. Thanks again for supporting us, Frank, and all the rest of those that have bought other stuff. And as we continue on, we are in April. We're going to have some great guests lined up. Our April stream, if you're a big Alaska fan, we're going to have Jeremy KL7EC on to talk POTA and ham radio in Alaska, so stay tuned for that. Make sure you head over to our Live Free and Ham YouTube channel and click the like and subscribe button if you haven't already. And that way you'll be notified when we go live. And we are working on a segment soon for all of those folks that have been posting reviews over on iTunes. We appreciate those. So we're going to start to integrate those in soon. And so keep an eye out for that. But as always, let's head over to our regular segment here called
and now for something a little extra with Todd W1STJ.
All right, well, this is, you've heard it. This is where we help Todd study for his extra class license. In each episode, we pick three questions from the extra class pool to test his knowledge and hoping he gets his upgrade. If you'd like to follow along, you can always head over to hamstudy.org, which is a great resource to help you prepare for your test and is recommended by 3 out of 4 volunteer examiners because the ADA was unavailable for comment at the time of survey. So without any further delay, I'll hand it over to our VE Quizmaster, and I will be his Vanna this evening. Go ahead, Paul.
All right, Todd. Well, since I'm remote, I appreciate Eric setting it up. Your first question, what is the effect of aliasing on a digital oscilloscope caused by setting the time base too slow? Is it A, all signals will have a DC offset? Oh, where'd the question go?
Technical difficulties, folks.
Okay.
As I'm hitting here.
All right. Is it B, a false jittery low frequency version of the signal is displayed? C, excessive blanking occurs, which prevents display of the signal? Or is it D, collaboration of the vertical scale is no longer valid?
Or calibration, because the print is so small, I can't even read it.
I'm going to say B.
All right. If I go to my page here and I get it right, we're going to go to B. And the answer is correct.
Yeah.
Great job.
Nice job. That's all right. So 1 for 3. All right. Next question.
All right. Which S parameter is equivalent to forward gain? Is it A, S21, B, S11, C, S22, or is it D, S12?
I'm going to go with A, Paul. My final answer.
What was your answer again? Sorry.
A.
A. All right.
Yeah. That is correct.
2 for 2. All right. We are on a roll tonight, fellas. Last question for the evening.
All right. For the final question, which of the following parameters does a spectrum analyzer display on the vertical and horizontal axes? Is it A, RF amplitude and time, B, SWR and frequency, C, SWR and time, or D, RF amplitude and frequency?
Ooh, they threw a curve in there.
Let's see.
So a spectrum analyzer.
I know. I'm going to say I'm going to say D.
Ooh. And you are correct. Woohoo! 3, nice job.
All right.
Excellent. Cool. All right.
In a row.
Cooking.
You can't get better than 100%.
No, that's two in a row for the record. So
yes, and you know, it's only getting better from here.
Zero, right? Then I get zero once, 0 out of 3.
Yeah, that was a tough show. All right. Well, as always, so if you're in your journey to studying for your technician, general, or extra class license, in that case, hamstudy.org is always an excellent resource for getting your ticket. And if you've recently received your license or you got upgraded, let us know. We'd like to recognize you on the next episode for your hard work and effort. And you can always email us with that information at livefreeandham@gmail.com, and we'll surely mention you on the next show. All right. So as our usual segments here, you know, we're going to talk about our ham radio week. And so we'll just kick things off here. So, and, Paul, you seem to be one in a great place there. We'll pass it over to you. So how's your ham radio week, man?
Well, so while I may not have done a lot of ham radio, you know, transmissions or receiving this week so far, this week I spent planning and preparing for being where I am, which is not in my shack. I'm currently at an undisclosed location in Pittsburgh, New Hampshire, and I've got a beautiful view of the total solar eclipse, where we will be in totality tomorrow. So I will be set up outside with the 891 and the Reliance N-Fed half wave to do the solar eclipse QSO party, and I'll be running Whisper for a little bit as well. I'll be running Whisper from my house as well. So that way I can send along the data from both, the partial eclipse and the totality. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to, doing a whole lot of radio tomorrow.
That's awesome. We're up to date, but you've just totally glazed over the most important thing that, if any of our listeners obviously are, watching the lot, you know, this, YouTube one, you notice that, he has officially, received a certain.
Yeah. So, so my gift to myself for getting my, extra class license was that I wanted a 1x2 call sign. And so, my plan was to be an extra by the end of January. And I passed my exam on New Year's Eve. So I was a month early, and I started looking at what extra, 1x2s were available, and N1OG became available on March 8th, and I had my heart and soul set on being number one Oscar the Grouch, and so I applied at 6 a.m. on March 8th, and on the 26th I was granted my call sign. Yeah, I will forever now be known as
incredible
N1OG.
Incredible.
Well, congratulations. I just, when I first saw it, I was like, he's the original gangster. Look at that, a ham radio. I guess that comes from my work. Cool. You know, that's what I deal with all day at work. So that just came to mind.
West Side?
Yeah.
The West Side of the East.
Let me go get my red shirt on. My blue bandana.
Yeah. Yeah, we should all be wearing red bandanas.
So, yeah, congrats on the call, man. That is totally awesome. Glad you got the 1x2. Those are very tough to come by these days, especially the short supply on them. And, you know, it's inspired me to think about upgrading my call, but we'll table that one for later.
Everyone know you're like super famous now, Eric. Everyone knows you're Zen 1J. Well, you can't change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm running into. Too much of a change. Cool. All right. Well, with that, let's transition over to you, Todd. How's your ham radio week been?
Oh, ham radio week. Well, nothing good happened. We had, for those of you in New England, you know, we had a bunch of crazy weather. Monday was baseball practice. Thursday and Wednesday, Thursday was snowstorm. High winds, ice, rain, and my antenna did come down the long end. So wasn't too bad. I was going to try to put it back up. Didn't work. And I lost Eric's weight to the gun that the antenna cannon that he gave me. So I know exactly where, well, I know the area it is. I just don't know exactly where it is in that area. So I bought a slingshot, and tomorrow morning before we do, Eric and I are going to go out and do activation during the eclipse. I am going to try to launch a fishing weight with fishing line with a newly purchased wrist rocket that I will be launching into my tree to get my antenna back up so I can start using my flex in the shack again. So that's what's been going on. Haven't done an activation in a while. So I am really looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be like 65 degrees, which is going to be sweet. Took the day off. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So today I got everything ready, or last night and this morning I got everything ready, and I am all packed, charged, and ready to go.
Sweet. Well, hopefully I won't have to visit you and do a poda from a ER or anything, so you don't kill yourself with that slingshot. And everything goes well, fingers crossed. One thing I was thinking of, since we've been talking about the lost shot weight, I was like, there's got to be some technology we can put in here. I'm thinking, maybe I can load them with air tags or, some RFID tag or something like that. So you can easily track all these things that we lose.
I have an extra air tag. If we could fit it in there, that'd be kind of cool.
We should
closer. Charging
here. What'd you say? Charging them might be a challenge.
Yeah, you don't have to charge them. They last for, they're like long-term batteries.
I'll do that. Well, true. We could do RFID tags too. They only, wake up when you scan them. But that might be pretty cool. We'll market them on Etsy. All right. Well, cool. So with that, like Todd said, we will be, getting out like Paul out into the eclipse. So by the time this show airs, it'll be way past that. But we'll definitely, I'm sure, be reporting on our progress. I'm not going to be doing any official whisper tests or anything like that with Todd. I think we're just going to get out and see what the bands can do. And we will be live streaming that. So hopefully you get a chance to tune into that and be a part of the fun that will definitely ensue. I think we're going to be running a couple antennas and hopefully, knock on wood, cell service does stay up and we can, record it and get it out to the stream. And, if not, hey, whatever, we'll just, we'll have fun with it either way. So I'm looking forward to that. I guess for me, my ham radio, I haven't, like everybody else, done a whole lot. I've been, kind of just trying to get some stuff ready for the channel as I'm getting close to 1,000 subs. So, hopefully you guys can come join and hang out with me. I'm going to be doing a live stream when we hit 1,000, bunch of giveaways. So looking to have a little mini party there and hang out and have fun and, roll into 1,000 subs and, go from there. So I'm enjoying the wild ride. I thank for everybody, especially you guys hanging out and being part of, obviously the Free and Ham, but at the same time, supporting me over in, N1JUR has been a blast. As Todd says, I'm infamous or famous or I don't know, whatever.
Okay, you're famous when you're just trying to activate a park and it gets interrupted by someone. Oh, Eric, I love your videos. I'm like, oh, I'm with a celebrity now. The paparazzi's around the corner. Back off. We're just activating a park.
as we all know.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I definitely don't have time. All right, cool. Well, we're going to dive into our topic this evening. As we alluded to the very beginning with our small little skit, and we're not all professional thespians, so excuse the poor dialogue there. We're going to talk a little bit about mic fright. I think we've all kind of had it in some form or fashion, and I was having a couple conversations with a few new hams and folks that were thinking about doing POTA, and in those conversations it kind of came up of like, the mic stuff, I'm not quite ready for that, I don't know what to do. And so, as I try to do a lot, and I'm sure you guys as well, is that we try to provide some encouragement and, a little bit of, help to, kind of move them towards, trying it out. And, and I know all of us all offer the opportunity to say, hey, come do a POTA with us, because, heck, why not? Why wouldn't I have an excuse to go do another POTA and, let somebody else try, their hand at, offering the mic. But, let's kind of break this out a little bit. As we know, mic fright is, a serious thing. And, if it's not treated, it can lead to some serious issues later. So, we want to make sure you get over to your doctor, if you can, as early as you can to, basically thwart that. But all kidding aside, we all know, we've always struggled with it. So let's kind of shape that a little bit. Talk, if you guys, I've got a couple of stories on my own that I recalled back of how and what I did when I did have mic fright. You guys have kind of gone through that yourselves. You guys got any little, you have recall any of your memories the first time you maybe hopped on HF or, fired up your HT once you got your ticket or anything like that?
Well, if you don't get over your mic fright, you end up a serial digital operator, and nobody likes a serial digital operator.
We don't want all our friends to be that way. Very true. Very true. So yeah, anybody got any of you guys go through any of the mic fright at all a little bit, or just kind of a little bump over that and you just kind of got over it pretty quick?
Yeah, I think, well, when I first got my technician license and I got my radio all set up and wanted to make my first contact, I was like just staring at the radio like, all right, now what? Like, do I do it? Do I do it? Once they call me, So you just got to push the button and go for it. And then you realize it's not so bad. It's like it's not very bad. But I think my more fear was HF. Talking on the repeaters, it was pretty easy. I'm new. Everyone's like, oh, they talk about your new stuff. Then I was like, well, now that I'm, what would happen if I'm not new? What am I going to talk about? But it comes, right? But HF, yeah, I was super nervous. The first field day I visited, I didn't participate in. Well, I guess I kind of participated in, but I was just a technician, and Eric was a station captain, and he made me operate. You're doing this, sit down, take the mic, go for it. And I didn't know what to say. It wasn't in my head. I didn't once they asked me a question, but he was right there. And, I made my contact to, I think it was Pennsylvania, and I was all excited because I thought that was super far. But now I'm like, yeah, well, I don't get too excited about Pennsylvania anymore from New Hampshire, but I'll take the contact. So that was my first really, I was still nervous, right? And then I got my general, and then we went and activated our first park that day on the way home, and I totally screwed it up. It was terrible. I was mumbling. I had to add things to my call sign. I was saying the wrong car. I was like, this is terrible.
Phonetics were so far between. Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. So I said, I gotta go home and just listen. So I'd find someone activate in a park, and I just leave it on there and listen and try to get a hang. And what I found was really helpful was hunting the parks, because I was only doing the easy part, right? But I got used to making the call. And then as I started activating parks and I realized hey, I'm in control of this, I can do it any way I want, I just would get into this groove. And I think that the first time I really was I'm all done with the mic fright was when I activated that Silver Lake. It was a night I did a day shift or an evening shift before day. And then I went to the night shift, and I was my first real pile up. And I was in the zone for a good, I think it was 2 hours I was doing it. And all I know is when I started, it was light out, and I was so into logging and making the next contact that I looked up. It was 10 o'clock and it was pitch black. And like all I had was my phone for a flashlight because I didn't think I was going to be there that long. I think I got like 150 contacts and Eric's texting me, good job. Like everyone in the club's like, you're doing great. Keep going. Keep going. My phone's blowing up. And that was it. After I did that, I was like, no problem with the mic stuff. So I got pretty comfortable with it. And I think the more you do it, the more the more you're comfortable doing it, the easier it gets. And then you don't really think about it. It just becomes like, you know, riding a bike, you just get on and do it. But I did tell you when we did, I think we did a live, I don't know, you did one of your websites that I was on. I don't know, maybe it was our Rove or something. And my mother watched it and she goes, how did you learn how to talk in that code? I'm like, code? I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, the 7.3s and the QRZ. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it just becomes, she goes, you sound like a professional. I'm like, I'm far from that, Ma, but thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
How about you, Paul? You got any interesting stories or anecdotes about your mic fright, or did you have mic fright at all? Or,
well, yeah. So, I mean, I 100% can make fun of serial digital operators because that's what I was. So I got
a recovering addict.
I got my tech in February of 21. I got my general in March. And then all I did probably for the first year was digital. I did, you know, FT8, FLDigi, WinLink, Vera, you know, I mean, any digital mode that I could do, is that's what I was into because I didn't want to get behind the mic. And then
right.
I started after my second field day, right? It's the first field day, like Todd, I didn't want to really take part. I wanted to kind of take it in, observe and figure it out. So second field day, I got behind the mic. Mm-hmm. And that is what gave me that drive to get over the fear. And it's okay. One of those things where, you know, like anything, I always tell my son, right? He's 13. Nothing is easy at first, right? And anything that's worth doing is going to be a little bit of a challenge. So ham radio is a bit challenging, and it's because it's worth doing. And so once you start getting through that mic fright and you start getting a little bit of practice under your belt, you're listening to what other people are saying and how they're rolling through their contacts, in you develop your own style. And so, like, especially now, I love doing Parks on the Air. And like Todd said, it's great because you're in control, because you're the one calling CQ. I'll sometimes take, you know, 2, 3, 4 minutes, and I'll have a little bit of a conversation with somebody depending on where they're at. You know, like if they're in Northern Scotland, I've been learning Gaelic for over a year. And so, you know, I'll ask them, avail Gaelic Acad, you know, do you have Gaelic? Most of the time they don't, you know, but they appreciate the sentiment of me asking, you know, and then it spurs a little bit of a conversation. And, you know, it's funny because, I'm not a very, sociable person. I don't tend to agree or get along with people very easily. I'm somewhat difficult with people socially. I know, Todd, believe it or not.
I'm like, you finished with us. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, hear me out. So, okay. Look at how much time I spend with a local club. Okay. I don't go to the breakfast. I don't go to the barn. I don't go to club meetings. Like I don't want to be around the people, but you put me behind a radio and it's a completely different story. I'm very comfortable now being behind a radio and having a conversation with multiple people. And so for someone like myself who doesn't want to be physically in a social group, where you get anxiety in that aspect, getting over that mic fright is key to finding a little bit of happiness in communicating with others.
Yeah. Good points. Yeah. We're going to dive in a little bit, kind of talking about maybe giving you some tips or tricks that you might be able to use to be able to get over that kind of first hump. And we can kind of break those out a little bit, I think, into, you know, the realm of like repeaters and local communications. And then we'll talk HF, because HF, as we all know, is a in my mind, a little easier animal sometimes, because it's, you know, it's, it can be such a short exchange where the, you know, repeater, you know, lingo could be, like Todd said earlier, you know, after you tell everybody you're, you know, who you are and you're 411, you have to now come up with a topic that you got to figure out how you keep this conversation going type thing. Or, you know, you fake the, hey, I got a phone call type thing or whatever. we'll go over some of those.
Is that what you do too, when you see, when you don't want to talk to me? I got a phone call. I got a client to see. I see how it is.
Exactly. So yeah, we will cover those in a second. So I guess my little, I got two things. When I got my ticket very early on in 91, I was still in high school. I was very much that computer nerd, and you know, I my one sport I played was baseball, so I was spent most of my time in computer lab or electronics, you know, room and whatnot. So when ham radio kind of came around and I got my ticket, I really could only talk on the repeaters. And so I would have to say, when I first got my first HT, I, you know, the first thing I did was fire it up and ka-chunk the repeater, and then I prayed after I ka-chunked the repeater that nobody would come back. And of course, you know, the repeater in town was a very active repeater. Everyone was always, you know, using it for commuting. So I should have just really realized that somebody would be like, who's ka-chunking the repeater? And back in those days, when you ka-chunk the repeaters, they got annoyed by it, especially if you didn't ID. And so I remember very vividly IDing with my call sign, and I must have tripped over my words. And they're like, what? They made me repeat my call 3 or 4 times because I just couldn't get it across. And they're like, use phonetics. And I'm like, oh my gosh, phonetics, November 1. And I was like, just use your radio, I think would be a good one, you know. So, you know, kind of playing those games, I finally just forced myself to just be like, you know what, I'm going to be me on the radio, and, you know, that's just kind of how it is. And if, you know, they know me personally, then they'll be okay with having a conversation. And those that just think I'm weird, well, yeah, I'm in the hobby. It's radio. So you're going to be weird anyway. And so that's kind of how I forced myself to have those conversations, and where I learned that later on in life, when, you know, I feel bad because I hop on our repeater locally all the time, at least 3 or 4 times a day. You know, constantly just put my call sign out there, hoping, you know, somebody will respond. And I can almost tell when I get those onesie twosies of the people, you know, and they put out their call and they kind of do it a little bit, knowing that they don't want really that to happen. I'm going to be the guy jumping on there, but I'm like, I'll happily guide the conversation, because I know they're just like trying to like think of the next thing to say, or the, you know, the right thing to say, or has it gone to 10 minutes yet? Should I ID, you know, that kind of ordeal. So, you know, that we'll dive into some of those tips that I got out of that, and how to move, you know, that needle ahead. The HF one, I almost didn't get involved with HF. And now I know you guys are looking at me like, what the heck is wrong with you? But when I first started getting into HF was when field day, you know, when I was a lot younger, and I had a lot of people in the club who were contesters. And so they were the very like hardcore guys. And so you had to follow format, and none of them like really gave me a structure to work in, like, hey, say this and then try that, then say this and try that. And oh, they responded this way, you know, kind of helping you through the two-way conversation. They just kind of said, well, here's the sheet, follow it to a T, and, you know, make sure you're hitting all, you know, getting your contacts quick, because once you start, you know, putting your CQ out there, people are going to start responding. And I remember, you know, my first HF contact, I stumbled over every, you know, and the problem was the club call sign was like WB1GOF. And so that's a tough one to remember while you're trying to say everything else. And I thank God, you know, our club call sign today for our, you know, local club is N1QC, which is really easy. Queen Charlie over and over again. So, you know, having that experience kind of almost shied me away from doing it, and become, you know, and that in those days it was PSK 31, and you had to have like, you know, half of $1 million to be able to put the hardware in to be able to do digital modes. So you're very much lucky, Paul, that you were able to start that. Otherwise it would be CW for me, and I was struggling with that, from the day one. So yeah. So HF, only got better for me once I finally got, you know, 10 years later into the hobby and got my general. And I remember doing my very first HF alone. And like Todd expressed, it was like, I'm going to just do this. And I think I screwed up 5 times. I probably didn't log every contact that I had. I probably said the order wrong. Like, you know, when you say QRZ is supposed to end, you know, the transmission. And I can't tell you how many times it, you know, irks my, gets my goat, as they say, when people go QRZ N1JUR. And it's like, No, it's your call sign, then QRZ. You're basically telling people now they can respond to it, and you're saying it after the fact. Anyway, long story short. all that, I do remember I stumbled over it, but I, like Todd said, you get that passion. And Paul, you expressed that earlier. It's like, we're just like, you got to keep doing it because you're just like, this is so awesome. I can't stop doing it. It's, it's an addictive drug. So,
yeah, and it just gets better. It
sounds like we all. Sadly, yes. In a good way, of course, very much so. So, when you started, so let's kind of break this down. So let's talk a little bit about the more localized communications with, dealing with repeaters or, VHF, UHF communications. Now, anything that you guys, when you first started to do that, did you find that you were really like more concerned with like making sure you got all of the right things in place, meeting your call sign every 10 minutes, making sure say 7-3 instead of 7-3s, or I'm going QRT or I'm going clear, like all of those little nomenclatures that we kind of use in the hobby. Did you find that you just, adapted to that well and were able to kind of integrate that into the conversations you had with folks, or would you just kind of, went at it at a different.
Well, thanks to the technician test, when it says when you want to call someone, just call CQ. So I was that rookie calling CQ on repeaters, like loser.
Which is so dumb,
right? I know, but you know what? I didn't know you guys then, so I was like, all right. But fortunately, I have to say that 99% of all the hams out there are really good people and are not going to. They're going to tell you. You don't have to say that on the repeater. You say that on HF or whatever. You don't have to say it on the repeater. Just throw your call sign out there. Someone will get back to you if they're listening and they want to talk. But, there is always the one guy that would, could be a jerk about it. But I had a positive experience and I just laughed at it. And I said, well, you know what? I just took the test and that's what the test said to do. And they go, oh, that stupid test. You don't listen to that. But that was one of the things that I did. And then they're like, yeah, you don't have to do that. So I learned by trial and error. I use our repeater probably the most. And I just call my call sign out when I get in the car and I go to work or coming home from work or if I'm just driving around. And, some of you guys, I've talked to all you guys numerous times and there's other guys in the clubs. And I've actually been talking to a new guy in Townsend. He's a technician. I think he's working on his general, but he has, I talked to his 11-year-old son. He was with him when I was driving to work doing the night shift. And he was all excited about talking. They were waiting for their programming in their radio, the International Space Station. So he was all excited thinking he was going to hear the astronauts or whatever. So I thought that was kind of cool. So I talked to him for a little bit and I call in, he keeps reaching it back out to me. So he's a, we kind of have something in common. He was in the Air Force. The Coast Guard. He did correction kind of stuff, like police work. And, I kind of do that with juvenile probation. So we kind of had to talk about that. Now, Paul, I told him about Watson. He trains dogs, but as he says, he trains people to handle dogs, which I thought was pretty funny. So he's been like, I haven't met him or anything, but we talk on the radio a lot. And so it's kind of cool because we have a lot to talk about because we don't really know each other that much. But I think getting on repeaters is, just throw your call sign out there. Someone's always willing to talk to you. Sometimes they want to talk about the weather. Sometimes they want to talk about what you're doing today. Sometimes they just want to say they got you. And then as a newbie, as someone who's brand new, just call out radio check. That's what I did. If no one was answering me, that's W1STJ radio check. Everyone's going to answer you for that. And then just start talking to them. But that's.
And with the radio check, a lot of times, though, it's just going to be like the ham who doesn't normally talk long or is not long winded is going to be like, okay, 7-3 and say, see you later. And then you're off the hook. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've done radio checks when I've put in new antennas or new radios or when I put my thing in the, making sure it works and stuff. So
you mean use it when you're supposed to?
Yeah. if you're new and no one's answering you, I do find that some repeaters have regulars, right? So it's like their crew, their group that uses it. So they don't want to really talk to new people, but if you're persistent enough, they'll get on there. So like the guys in the Interstate Repeater Society Radio in Derry, right? I have talked to all those guys and I don't think I've met any of them in person. But, you know, I put my call sign out there and those guys know me. Hey, Todd, how's it going? But, but you just got to put yourself out there. And it's, you know, the repeaters can be fun, especially when you're driving, you got nothing to do. You know, you're just looking for some, it makes my commute go quick, whoever I'm talking to. And then there's a, I found, one of the guys found a new repeater in Epsom, which is, it's got huge coverage. Like I've gotten it all the way up in Rumney. And it's out in Epsom, New Hampshire. And I've gotten as far out as Windsor and Hillsborough and down in Mass. So there's a newer ham down there, Anthony. And he, I do tests with him. So he's always on it. He must monitor it like 24/7. But I always tell him where I'm at and how I'm sounding and, you know, where it's at. And he's, we found that that repeater has got a huge area. And it works really well. So, so sometimes I'll do that. So, I mean, like I said, I just play around with it and sometimes I just listen. Sometimes I don't want to talk to anyone. I just want to hear like someone's talking about a topic or something that sounds interesting. I'll just listen. So
how about you, Paul?
So when it comes to, VHF, UHF, I would say for me, like when I first started, I did a lot of listening. And listening is good, but there's not always a lot of activity. And so what I would do is I would program the repeaters into the Baofeng, right, via chirp, and just hit scan. And then whenever it would find something, you know, that was something, I would listen. Once I got my license and I started like, well, all right, I'll throw my call sign out there. And you throw your call sign out and, you know, maybe somebody comes back to you, maybe somebody doesn't. But I have no issues whatsoever with somebody who actually wants to make a call with somebody calling CQ on a repeater. Like that is how we let people know, hey, this is me and I'm calling. Who wants to talk to me?
Right.
Right. So shame on anybody that says don't call CQ on a repeater, because if you are calling and you want somebody to talk to, call CQ. I don't care. It doesn't matter what mode it is. But I think for me, the biggest challenge with local repeaters was when I was on, not everybody would be on. And so, you know, a lot of times like I'd throw my call out there and like you, I'm kind of hoping that nobody comes back, but on the other hand, you're also kind of excited. Well, maybe somebody is going to come back and, you know, what are we going to talk about? But it doesn't matter what you talk about. It really doesn't, you know, like you're in the same area, you're in the same vicinity. So you both know what the weather is. So the weather is a non-issue, right? But like, you know, if something's going on in your household or something's going on in your neighborhood, whatever, like, you know, I mean, talk about whatever's on your mind, you know?
Right.
Don't let fear hold you back, because we all started with zero experience, right? And anybody that forgets that, shame on them. Because that's the kind of thing that makes new people not want to stick around is, you know, oh, well, I jumped on a repeater and some old hat, you know, got mad at me. That's stupid. Like, stop it. just be nice. Like, it's freaking radio.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think all good points, definitely from a standpoint of, you know, doing the radio check options really good. That's just kind of a good segue. And like you said, Paul, most people aren't going to care about the weather or what you had for breakfast. But in essence, if that's what you pops into your head at that moment, that's totally okay to share with somebody. Yep. It's not like, you know, there's not this, you know, script you have to follow, except the fact that the only thing you really have to do according to FCC is ID every 10 minutes. And even then, I know a lot of repeaters, I'm not IDing every 10 minutes. And I'm usually like in a conversation with somebody and like 35 minutes in, somebody else will be like, oh yeah, I forgot to ID, and they'll ID for me. And I'm like, yeah, fine. I'll just keep going. You know, whatever. You know, whoever's listening, if they want to bust me, fine. But you know,
yeah, the
repeater's ID too. So if the repeater IDs, then that's a reminder. Oh yeah, I should ID as well.
That's good point there. Yeah, I didn't even think about that as being a, you know, little trigger, even though I ignore it. go ahead, Paul. Yeah, Todd.
No, I normally, if I'm having a conversation with someone and I can't really keep track of time, but I'll just throw it out there when it's my next turn to go in there, and I'll just throw both our call signs out and say N1JR, W1STJ for ID, and then continue on. I don't think it's it's that important. I mean, it's
this not is like you, this is like me.
Right, and they're not sitting on the repeater like, all right, you're busted. You know, you're getting a fine. We're coming after you. You're getting sanctioned.
But they're not going to be hunting you down for that.
I don't think. I think they got more important things to be worried about. But I mean, people try, and then you know, you do it, and then you know, it's fine. But I think too, listening, you know, finding nets. There's a couple different nets that are around here. I used to get on more nets, especially when I was just a technician. I think I had one or two every night, but time is valuable, and I don't have that much time anymore to sit around for half an hour net. So I try to get on our net, and I have a couple other ones. And if I'm around the radio or if I'm in the car, I'll definitely jump on them. But if you're afraid to get on the net, listen, go through a couple weeks of listening to the nets, see how they go, and then just throw it out there. And you just tell me brand new is my first net, and you know the net control will guide you through it. And and then what I ended up doing is I got on the nets, and then I really liked the nets, and then I ended up asked me, one of the net control said, hey, would you be willing to do net control? I said, sure. So I tried that, and I just thought, hey, it's my first time. And people, oh, you did great. Cause I figured like they're all saying that because you know it's like, you know, oh, we want you to be president of the club, but because no one else wants to do it. But I like doing it. So that's why I do it on Sundays. It kind of interferes with us. So we should probably just move our recording time to like 8 because it used to be like 5 people, now it's like 15 and everyone has something to say.
So. Yeah, you know, with that, if you move it to 8, now that everybody listens to our podcast, they'll be like, oh, well, we got plenty of time. Todd doesn't have to be on until 8.
Right. But no, it's been good. And it the first time, I mean, an hour before, I'm like, okay, I got everything spread out, lined up. I have my own little spreadsheet that I keep track of. I got my script, and I was so nervous. And then I did it. And now it's like, you know, my 11-year-old will be like, God, Dad, aren't you running the net tonight? It's like 5 or 7. Oh, yeah. Run in, turn on the radio and go. So you know, it goes with comfort. You know, some people like to talk, there's some people just like to listen, but I think that part of radio is, and ham radio is, communication. So that's what we're here for, right? Like whether we do it online, CW, but we're supposed to be communicated. And I find that what's really enjoyable for me is when you get to the HF stuff and you're talking to people around the world and you learn things about their culture, their countries, what they're doing. And it's kind of cool because on HF, you're always logging, and a lot of guys will have their log up. And when they type in your call sign, like, oh, we worked each other 2 years ago, you know?
Yeah. We'll hold on that one. Put a pin in that for a second. Yeah. There's one other thing I want to talk about the VHF, UHF, because I think the HF, that piece is a really good part. So we've obviously touched on like the one-on-one in terms of like communication and, you know, not worrying about, like, you know, Paul said, fearing, you know, what you say next, just kind of let the Elmer or the guy who's pretty, or gal who's pretty seasoned, to just kind of lead the conversation a little bit. But, what the one piece that we may not touched on, and maybe you've run into, if you've, you know, you're relatively new ham, is like, dealing with, you know, conversations where you have 3 or 4 people in, you know, on the repeater, you know. We all trip over it. We all screw it up when someone, you know, enters the round. We all know what that feels like, but, you know, we should definitely touch upon a little bit of that. So, you know, this is the scenario where you might be in a conversation one-on-one with somebody, and all of a sudden three other people want to join in. They throw their calls in, you know, and then this is where the chaos ensues, because it's like, who deals with what, who goes next. And, you know, it takes a little while to figure that out. And I think from that experience, we've all had our own, you know, flavor of like,
if you're N1JUR, you just forget that W1STJ is actually in the group and just bypass them. That's how it works with N1JUR.
You know, I'm nearing 50, so give me some slack here, my friend.
Yeah, the other guy's like, hey, is Todd W1STJ still in there? Oh yeah, I'm still here, just hanging out.
Yeah, we've all had that. So your experience with we'll call the round or the group conversation, any tips or tricks you kind of, either you handled?
Someone with experience will take over and just go, this is the way we're going. Sometimes, like, it's like if there's 4 of us in there and you have to wait to go around, I kind of don't like that. But I know that's like the protocol and the rule. But like if I'm answering, if Eric goes and asks me a question and I'm three down, like I think I should be able to answer that question and then go to that. But it depends on how it's going. It doesn't really matter. Sometimes you get, by the time it's your turn, you got like four questions to answer. So sometimes I always forget one. I have to get on the next round. But there's no like real rule. It's not like you do something. If you skip someone or you go in the wrong order, you just figure it out. And sometimes we just laugh about it and say, we don't even know like what order are we going in? And then someone will be like, all right, this is the order. I mean, it is what it is.
How about you, Paul? Any feelings on that?
Well, yeah, because I mean, I think typically there's usually somebody with some experience that will kind of take charge of, you know, all right, well, these are the call signs that we've got, right? And so this is kind of the general order, you know. But to Todd's point, where, you know, say, you know, he's third in line, and you're first in line, and you've got a question directly for him. I've been in plenty of those little round robins where it's like, oh, because your question is specific, you know, it'll just jump right to the question and then come back to you. And then you know who is after you because, you know, it took a couple turns to figure out like, all right, after me is so-and-so. But then, you know, it just comes back to you and you turn it on to the next person and that's it. Like, I mean, there's nothing be afraid of, I guess, you know, like, while yes, it can be a little bit chaotic. Just roll with it, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes like if I'm in between, so like if you, Paul, asked Eric a question, but I was next, I just skip. Yeah, go ahead, Eric. Take it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get on the next round because it's not like I have to say it. And then sometimes I don't have anything to say. It's like, all right, I'm listening next. You know, and
that's actually a good point, Todd. I think that it's okay for any of the new guys that if you've gotten brain fog or you just shut off, you can't put anymore, it's okay to bow out. You don't have to like, you know, continue to leave this, you know, it's not a love affair. You don't have to keep it going for any length of time.
Yeah, no, you can say, I appreciate the conversation sitting here on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good point.
Sorry, Todd.
Cool. All right. Well, let's get into the big one here. Let's talk HF here because, you know, we obviously – this is a whole new animal because I think it's not – it can be localized a little bit, but more so if we all know and we all do POTA, that, you know, whenever we get a chance to get out to do it. You become kind of and we all alluded to it a little bit, is that you're open to a larger audience. So there is a lot of strength, I think, when you're doing HF – because you run the show is basically the way I look at it. And so if we let's kind of do this in the frame of, say, Field Day, you know, because Field Day is a big event both winter and summer, and, you know, usually where we invite a lot of people to come in to kind of, you know, experience it in a, you know, in a space that's safe, we'll say. At least in our club, I know we're really good about, you know, helping guide people along the way and get them excited to, you know, just keep coming back for more. You know, from that perspective, when you're encouraging or trying to pull somebody in and they are dealing with mic fright, you know, I mean, obviously I abuse you, Todd, and I have to apologize again, you know, publicly, you know, for just pulling you in and saying, here, go to it. But, you know, any tips or tricks that, you know, you've kind of, or experiences that you've had with people? I know, Paul, you've had a great experience of, in Winterfield Day, if you want to touch on that one, but. You know, that you guys would want to, you know, touch on when in trying to get someone in to try a you know, contact on Field Day.
The big thing for me, right, putting somebody brand new behind a radio is, one, be patient with yourself. Okay, we're all our own worst critic, and I guarantee all of the horrible things that you're thinking about yourself is not what the person on the other end of the radio is thinking. They can hear your inexperience coming through the radio, and any ham worth his salt is going to understand that there's inexperience there, and they're going to be patient with you. So you just have a little bit of patience with yourself and don't be so hard on yourself. It will all come in time. You know, just don't let fear hold you back, because I guarantee you the person on the other end of the radio is not anywhere near as critical of you and what you're saying and how you're saying it as you're doing to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Todd?
No, I second that. I mean, like I said, 99% of the people out there are willing to help. And, you know, I've done POTA activations with pileups, and I've had a new guy get on there and he was all screwed up and he's a pilot. I said, listen, I go, I got time. Let's talk. You know, you're doing great. This is what we're doing. And I think it's like you're passing on, because I was there at one point and I know what it was like. And I think that will make that ham so much better, because he's going to then feel more comfortable about going on. Now, the one thing I wouldn't do if you were brand new and you have mic fright and you get on HF, don't go on a contest. Those guys are like, I still get nervous. Like, they go so fast. And if you screw up or you ask a question, it throws off their rhythm and they get all, you can tell that they're like, why is this guy? But if you are going to do a contest, listen for a long time. Figure out what you're supposed to say. Figure out what they're looking for, and then do it. I'm not discouraging you from doing it, but I said when I was a brand new general and I got on and I started doing some, trying to work some contests and stuff, I find myself really pissing people off just because I didn't understand what was going on. But you know what? It's a learning curve. And, you know, but I think the guys in POTA are really guys that do POTA and activating parks are really the guys that will help you and get through it, because they're just like you and me and everyone else. We're not professional. At least I'm not a professional contester. But when I'm activating a park and I got a pile up, I sure as hell feel like one. So
that is true. That is
true. Todd. Just real quick.
Go ahead.
To your thing about
helping people, stopping the time to walk someone through it.
Contest. Listen, don't be afraid to jump into a contest either, because I do it. I'll jump in. I'll say, hey, listen, I don't know what the exchange is, but I hear all of you guys. So if you help me out, what's the exchange? I'll give you the proper exchange, and then I'll move on. Most people will be nice enough to explain it to you. So don't even be afraid to jump in on a contest. Ask politely.
My point is to do it. Just
don't make that first one.
Yeah, don't make it your. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I had an experience with a guy from Brazil, like pushing 2,000 watts, and he was super fast, and I screwed it all up, and I could tell he was pissed because I threw him off his, like, he was probably working like the championship or something. And but I mean, like I said, there's also, I mean, I've talked to guys on HF that are doing live. Like, I talked to this guy, I think he was in Italy. He does a live YouTube stream of him activated. It's awesome, because you work them and then you go back on YouTube and just scroll back and you can hear yourself on how he hears you. So I found that pretty cool to do. And if you're trying to work them, you could tell them that you're trying to work them. You can send them a in the chat. And then he'll try to hear you. And then I mean, it's kind of like cheating, but you know, if you're looking to hear what your signals are. And what was cool about that is I did that when I first got my Flex, and someone had told me that the headphones that I was using, that it was terrible. So I went out and bought this new headset for my iPad to work my Flex remote. And I worked this guy and I said, how do I sound? He goes, oh, you sound great. He goes, and I explained the situation. And then I was able to go back and hear. And I was like, okay, I got my settings all set. It sounds really good. So there, like I said, that's the type of guy that's out there. He's trying to make as many contacts as he wants. He's trying to help people, giving people the opportunity to hear what you sound like, you know, calling across the pond or wherever you're, because he was working, he was typically had his beam pointed in North America. So he was pointing to North America and we were just trying to get him. So it was just kind of cool. And I've talked to people all over the world, and it's just been really cool to talk to all these different people. I after doing it, I said, you know, if everyone in the world was a ham radio operator, there'd be no wars. We're all cool. Everyone gets along.
You'd hope. Ham radio could lead that one.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I just haven't met anyone that on the radio that's been really bad or I mean, they've all been like really generous. And then they're curious. Sometimes they want to have a QSO and talk about, you know, they've never been to New England, New Hampshire, the United States, and you know, and I'm like, yeah, I've never been to Serbia.
Right. Yeah. So funny things with HF, as we probably all maybe touched upon a little lightly, is that whether you're in field day or you're in, you know, doing a POTA activation, and if you're brand new, one thing that I think we kind of alluded to, and I just kind of want to drive home a little bit, is that you'll feel more successful if you have, or you surround yourself with people that love the hobby and love playing radio, because they're going to be, like Paul said, very patient with you, and they're going to give you the words, or feed you a lot of, spoon feed you a lot of the words a couple of times. And we had an example we about to share in a couple episodes prior, where we had Winterfield Day, and we had a brand new family just got their tickets, and they brought their kids along to come to Winterfield Day. And I remember just sitting next to Todd, sitting next to Paul. And, you know, they were on 10 meters, and she was just following the script, and Paul was just giving her, you know, little things here and there to kind of tweak or approve, or just make sure as he heard it, you know, she could relay the right information. There was one instance, I think, you know, in Paul was saying earlier, where it's like the other operator on the other knew that the kid, their daughter, was on listening and actually making a contact, that he took the time to, you know, congratulate her, encourage her, do the whole entire thing. And that's, I think, what we're alluding to, is that it might be scary from a mic fright perspective, but know that, you know, people are going to know that you're just going to be going through those phases, and it's okay to, you know, not say one thing, or, you know, miss, you know, saying 7-3, or say, you know, some 77s or 88s or something really crazy that made no sense. Or, you know, you know, when you're supposed to say QRZ at the very end, you say QRT, you know, those kind of little trip ups. Know that, you know, those codes and all of the nomenclature will come in time. You don't have to stress over knowing, you know, what you need to say before you say it. Sometimes you just try it, and if it sticks, it's going to, you know, jog your memory, and you're going to keep redoing it over repetitives, you know, over and over again. So yeah. I think all of us, you know that very well, and do it very much often when we do POTA and, you know, field days is, you know, a big example of that. So I'm totally with you on that.
And Eric, you did, you know, the cheat sheets for field day, laminated kind of what to say, what you're looking for, what you're giving out, who we are, what our numbers are, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, don't be afraid to, if you're going to do it, have a cheat sheet in front of you. You know, if you're using Q, you know, the code, Q codes, you know, have some of the ones that you use more frequently in, just so you can reference it in case you forget. Like I said, for me, I'm a learner by doing, not by learning. Like, you could give me all the Q codes and say memorize them, and I'm still not going to get them unless I start using them. It's just the way I learn, I guess. So I have cheat sheets everywhere. I still do. I got the band frequencies. I've got, you know, the phonetic stuff. I mean, the more you do it, the more you get it, and it just becomes like muscle memory. You know, it's like you just start doing it. You're not thinking about it anymore. In the beginning, you're always thinking about it. It's like when I was learning how to fly my model airplanes, I was thinking, okay, up elevator, right aileron, okay, up elevator, down. You know, I'm not thinking all this stuff, and I'm like, how do these guys do all this stuff? And like one day, like the guy I see, he goes, Todd, because I'm mumbling this to myself, he goes, just fly the airplane. And that was like kind of stuck to me. Like, I'm like, oh, all right. And then I just started flying. I'm not thinking about it anymore. And it's like, as an instructor, you know, I got to put the plane in like weird things. If kids are crashing into people, like doing nosebys in the trees. And I had to think of what I was doing, I'd never get anything done. So it's like, now I just fly the plane. So it's like, just do ham radio, just get on there and do it. And if you screw it up, you screw it up. But if you need some things to help you out, have it. There's no wrong or right way to do ham radio. There's rules. They're very basic. And even if you screw them up, it's not like you did it intentionally. You know, it's not like you're just out there talking on the radio and you don't have a call sign. You know, you'll get people like that. And, you know, Eric, you and I have had some of them. I think we've done some in POTA. Then there was someone on the repeater. We just tell them, say, hey, you have to be a licensed amateur, and this is where you go, and you can't be on the radio. Oh, I'm sorry. But for the people watching this and the people who are licensed or who are brand new, this is, you know, don't be afraid. Just have fun with it. And then talk to if you have a question or you think you're doing something wrong, talk to your people in your club, because I've learned so much just from my club members, more than I ever learned on any test or any book I read. Because if you have a question, they can answer it. And, you know, Eric introduced me to POTA, and I've learned everything about POTA from Eric. And I remember Paul, remember that first day we went to Silver Lake? You and I were there first. We're like, well, what do we do? And he's like, I don't know. I'm like, I'm just waiting for Eric to show up. He goes, do you have anything? I'm like, nope.
All the pressures.
But that was like one of the first really experiences. Like, you know, we had, you know, both of us there. And I think you and I were like kind of like brand new. Like, well, I don't even know where to start. Right. And now it's like, you know, I want to take people out. People call me up, say, hey, can you ask you a question about POTA? Or I'm like, yeah, let's go. You know, so.
Yeah. So, all right. So we kind of touched Mike Fright from a perspective and kind of just put a little bow on this a little bit. Is what do we do? I think there's a piece here that we didn't really focus on, but I think is a good thing to talk about. It's like, so, okay, so we got some seasoned people here. What can we offer folks who are seasoned to help them, you know, provide encouragement or direction or, you know, helping these people that, you know, are trying to get over the mic fright? You know, what would you do, or what, you know, because if there's a couple of things that you can be as a mentor to mentor others, to be mentors, is that kind of make sense? You know, anything you pass on in that sense to those folks that might be listening that, you know, I've been doing it for a while, the mic's talking is no big deal, but you know, how they can help, you know, or seek out those folks maybe?
It's very simple. So an experienced ear will know inexperience as soon as you hear it, right? Because we all know, right? It's obvious. When somebody is inexperienced getting on a radio, it comes through and you can hear it. So for those that are experienced and you hear it, be patient. Like, stop being a dick. Like, just be patient. Remember, you were once there as well.
I'm in my line of work, I mean, I work with troubled kids, so I'm always trying to help them. So for me, it's pretty natural to want to help people. So like on field day, when I have my little station going and people come into my tent and I'm working it, you know, I say, hey, you want to do this? You want to listen? Sit down next to me here. And I even start, like, especially with the younger kids, you know, giving them the mic and saying, okay, press this, you know, press this and I'll talk, you know, let them feel the, and then they want to go a little bit more and more and more. And you just, like you said, be patient, but just offer it to them. And if they don't want to do it, I wouldn't force them to do it. Don't pressure them to do it too much, but like give them the opportunity to say, hey, you want to try this? This is fun. You can do this. You want to talk to someone, and they might do it. And then people who are hesitant, you know, you start telling them stories. We talk about POTA a lot, and they want to start coming out, and people start saying, oh, can I come out with you? Well, you take someone out, and next thing you know, they're like buying POTA gear because they're like, wow, this was really fun. You know, this was awesome. And that's how you get it going. I mean, look at, we've got guys in the club, in our club, we're very fortunate that do everything. Like, there's guys that just do CW that really focus on that. They got guys that like to build and redo radios. So we got other guys that like to do HF contesting. We have other guys that just like to do poetry. I mean, everyone does something, and there's so much to do in this hobby that you should be able to find someone who will support you and help you. And, you know, I know that there used to be like Elmers, but like, I think my whole club has been my Elmer because everyone's kind of taught me a little bit of everything. And that's why I think, and, you know, we had a previous episode where we talked about the importance of clubs. You got to find the right club. You got to find a club that's welcoming and wants to be able to help. And our club has been awesome with that. They have been totally make you feel welcomed and totally understand the level you're at, encourage you and ask questions and offer to help. And it's just been a really good experience for me. And I think I got lucky because I found the right club. I joined in the beginning a whole bunch of clubs, and the Bedford Club, N1QC, is the club that really fit for me. And that's where we all ended up. And look at now I'm doing podcasts. If you said, oh, when you got your ham radio, you think you'd be doing podcasts? I'd be like, what? Like, no, I don't even think I'd be talking on the radio.
I barely took out the mic to talk on that. What do you think I'd be a microphone for?
I thought this was going to be a very inexpensive, simple hobby, you know, an HT, and that was it. And then Eric laughed at me. He goes, yeah, we'll see about that.
Yeah, but so Todd, right? Imagine if there wasn't an Eric to force you to get behind the radio.
Mm-hmm. I know. Well, it wasn't just Eric, you know. There was other guys that introduced me. Oh, they just say, oh, why don't you just come along, you know? So I'm like, okay. And then I start see a guy whip out, this guy John whips out a wire, plugs it into this like little radio this big and throws it up on a fence post. Next thing you know, he's talking to Italy. I'm like, is that really Italy? I'm like, that quick? you know, he's got a little battery. He goes, yeah. He goes, you've never done this before? I'm like, nope. So that was, and sometimes for me, it's just exposure. Like, just show me something cool and I might jump in on it. But I'm glad I got in, and I'm glad I got over the fear of talking on the mic. And I find it very, I don't get nervous doing the nets anymore. Like I said, I used to be really nervous and I'd have everything planned out. Now it's like, I just like, oh shit, it's 5, 7 o'clock, 5 of, I got to get over there. Right. Well, I mean, it's really what it is. It's like, oops. But it's just because I've done so many of them, you just become natural. And it's kind of like when we get on the air, if you do it enough, you just become comfortable with it. Yeah. So just go at your own rate and have fun with it. And if you don't want to talk, listen. And then every once in a while, throw it out there, you know, try to make the contact and see what happens.
Yep. Yeah. I'd say I'd agree with that all 100%. Coming from my vantage point, patience is number one on the list. I know a lot of Elmers, when I was growing up, it was very much that one-on-one relationship because there wasn't much of the internet and all of the extra advice that was out there. And you dealt with just the one, you know, one or two club members that might've latched onto you. But you know, I think from a standpoint of, you know, as you guys touched upon, you know, every one of us at some level or another, you know, it can be that Elmer, and it doesn't have to be that big, you know, glorious title that's out there. It's like, you know, just asking the question, hey, what do you like to do? You know, do you want to talk? You know, do you want to play digital? You know, what interests you? And let's, you know, let's go explore it together. And that's, you know, coupled with a, you know, like we all touched upon, a great club that has that diversity, then we're good.
I mean, think about it. If you've got an older ham that's been around for 50 years, been a ham for 50 years, and he's never done POTA or anything, I could technically be an Elmer to an extra who's never done POTA on working, taking them out and activating a park, right? That is like, so there's, it's not like a hierarchy, like, oh, I've been a ham for 100 years and, you know, I am the king of ham radio. It's like, God,
you are only a general, yeah, so you can't go any further.
Right. I'm still a general. I might always be a general. Who knows? But anyway, we're looking at, but you look at, like, if that's what you focus on, you do it a lot, you might have more experience, and it's all good. I think about ham radio is everyone is, it's all about learning. It's all about communicating. It's all about having fun. And one of the things to have fun, at least for me, is if you're going to get on sideband or you're going to get your ticket and you're going to get on repeater, you got to talk, right? So the nice thing is you don't have to be seen. So you sit behind a radio and no one knows what you look like or what you're doing or what you're wearing or whatever. Like, you can be doing. And I find, like, when I talk to people and then I meet them, right, for the first time, I'm like, that's not how I pictured you at all. Like, that was that was not what I had in my head. Right. But, you know, it's, like I said, it's all good. And, you know, I've made a lot of great friends, like people I hang out with more than I do other friends now. And my biggest thing with ham radio is, like, when you tell people you're a ham radio, a lot of them who aren't in ham radio kind of laugh, right? Like, what do you do that for? But then I like to talk to them about it, and I tell them, and then I show them, and they're just like, oh, like, you just made a contact to Australia? I'm like, yeah, did you hear that? I'm like, that's pretty cool, right? He goes, and what kind of antenna? I'm like, just a wire. He goes, a wire. I'm like, yeah, a wire. It's strung up in the tree. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, let's see where he is. And I, oh, he was 10,000 miles away. They're like, what? And they start seeing it, and then they start getting more and more interested in it. And that's why I think some people, I think we could get more people involved if there was more people doing it and introducing people. Like, Eric, you and I have been out a ton of parks when people come up, oh, what are you doing? Oh, I was a ham, and I got my ticket. I haven't done it in 20 years. And then they see the equipment we're using. They're like, that's the antenna? That's the size of your radio? Like, just with that? Like, what? Like, they're used to, like, using, like, huge things that they couldn't really be mobile. And boat here anchors. We are just, like, popping. Yeah, exactly.
Size of cars.
So, I mean, I think just getting people out there. But get on the radio. I mean, that's what it's all about, and have fun with it. And if you don't want to, if you're afraid to get on and you have that mic fright, listen, because the more you listen, you're going to get the edge to say something. Someone's going to bring up a topic that you're just going to be itching to say.
You're going to have to speak up on.
Yep. And then just click the damn button and you'll be good to go.
Roger that. Well, I think that's a good ending here in terms of, you know, this mic fright topic. We touched upon some really awesome stuff here, guys. And hopefully, you know, you have learned a little bit more. That's going to maybe get you or put you over the edge a little bit to want to keep doing that. And, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, set some goals. I bumped into a ham on our repeater that he said for 2024, I'm setting my goal to get on the repeater more and just put myself out there and start talking and you know, working towards that. And, you know, he did that with me, and we had a good almost 45 minute conversation before he had to break to go back to work. And I was, you know, off doing whatever while I was on the road. But, you know, it was good to hear that. I was encouraging him, and I'm like, dude, you just got to come out and do POTAs with us. You got to come out and play radio. Just, you know, leaving open ended invitations, and eventually one of those will stick someday. And, you know, it'll be just one of those things. Will just set us off like I did with you guys, and you know, someone did for me, and, you know, so forth and so on. So it's, you know, it's a kind of a trickle effect, which, you know, we all like to see happen because it just makes the hobby that much better.
Yeah. And those of you that are watching that are seasoned hams, you know, it's like pay it forward. You know, we were all rookies. We were all brand new. We were all in the same situation. Pay it forward. If you notice that someone is struggling or new or not sure of themselves, you know, encourage them, support them. And all it does is it benefits our hobby. It benefits the new ham, and it benefits you for, you know, helping someone, you know, get off their feet and get going, because that's what's really important, is keeping the hobby alive, keeping people on the air and, you know, and having fun with it. You know, I'd hate to have a ham radio that says I hate ham radio because no one helps me and I don't know what I'm doing. You know, that would be to me a terrible thing. So if you're been around and you get someone or you're on the radio, just think of that the next time you find someone that might be struggling, take the time for whatever you're doing and help them through it and encourage them to keep going.
Yeah. And it was like Paul Schertz says, ham radio makes me feel dumb. So if it makes you feel dumb, then you're okay. You're amongst everybody else. We're a whole bunch of turkeys. We all know we had very little what we're doing, and we're all having fun with it.
Listen, so if I can do ham radio, anyone can, because like I said, when I started this, I knew green was ground. That's it. I knew nothing. The technician test was the hardest test for me to study for and take, because I knew it was like learning another language. But once I got into doing the technician stuff, the general was a little bit easier. And now the extra, well, that's a little hard, but you can do it. And it's not attainable. I have no engineering degree. I've got no computer skills, as Eric will tell you. I know how to turn it on and click to the website. That's about it. I'm clearly not an electrician. And the only thing I knew about radio was listening to it. So I never talked on it. So, I mean,
my highest level of education is high school.
Right. Yeah. And look at you. And he's an extra that got the hardest test out there, right? So what does that say about our education system? It's just a waste right now. Negative. You can bleep that out. But no, what I'm saying is if you're not an engineer or you're not, and you're just like, wow, this would be really cool, just go for it. I mean, I did. And like I said, I got into this totally by accident, and I'm just glad it found me. Ham radio found me, really. Is what happened, and now I'm like totally hooked on it. So,
man, we're just coming up with awesome shirt designs here, man. Ham radio found me. Yeah. I love that one. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, let's wrap this up here. So, as always, thank you for joining Live Free and Ham. We love you guys being part of the community, and you know, hope that you know the words that we have tonight were some encouragement to get you in on you know, doing more ham radio and just enjoying the hobby and connecting in with people that are, you know, like-minded like yourself. And so as we always say, you know, if you haven't already subscribed, head over to livefreeandham.com, subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review if you can, or if you're a YouTube watcher, definitely, you know, make sure you like and subscribe this channel as well. And as I say, you can always connect with the show in a couple different ways. First and foremost, like we've alluded to, you can always head over to our shop at livefreeandham.com/shop, pick up all of our merch. We're always adding new things to the store as we, you know, continue on in this journey. And if you're like an Apple Podcast listener like myself, please head over there and, you know, leave us a review. It helps us get out into other people's ears that might, you know, be ham curious. And you can always support our show through Patreon and buy us a beer links. Those are in our show notes and on our website. And as always, if you want to reach any of our hosts for anything, you know, you can head over to livefreeandham.com and all of our contact info is over there. And as always, thank you guys for listening. And from all of us, from Live Free and Ham, 7-3.
7-3. 7-3.